Live on Tape, Work in Progress, a World at Work podcast about work, life, and everything in between. With award-winning radio host Tom Alexander and Workspan's Not Safe for Work columnist Charles Epstein. Here are your hosts, Tom and Charles.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Work in Progress. My name is Tom Alexander. And of course, as always, I am joined by my good friend and podcast partner. It is Charles Epstein. I should actually say he is. Not it is. He is. He is Charles Epstein.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's perfectly appropriate. And thank you for making a change that was long overdue.
Yes.
I hope you appreciate my restraint and never call you out on that.
Oh, your restraint is admirable.
Yes, as per usual. Anyway, we should mention that, and I guess it's important to mention this time of year, as our friends up north, in fact, today's guest, will be coming to us from frosty Chicago. And of course, we are doing this from toasty South Florida.
Yeah.
So we, of course, have a very nice 3-4-5 month window where being down here is really very, very nice. And not that we want to lord it over anybody, but occasionally, you know, hey, we do want to press that advantage. So
absolutely.
Our apologies,
no, we do.
Full disclosure.
Yeah. And anyway.
Yeah. No, but what happens is the two fronts meet, you know, the toasty front and the frosty front, and it rains somewhere in Kentucky, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Goes very nice with your glass of bourbon. Anyway, today's guest, Chris Mihalik, again, coming to us from frosty Chicago, who's CEO of Virgin Pulse, providers of employee well-being solutions that help employees create habits that matter so they can be their best at work and at home. And, you know, one of the things I'm going to be interested in speaking with him, Tom, about is his previous work with some of the top consulting firms in the country, Towers, McKinsey, Aon, and what it was like or how it's been now from the other side, now on the operations side. So that'll be a very interesting conversation. Looking forward to talking about. And last thing before we bring Chris on, we have actually spoken with several Virgin Pulse people previously, including Chris's predecessor, the former CEO, David Osborne. That was a good conversation. And more recently, Mary Marzak, their senior scientists. So, you know, I know they got some very interesting things going on there. So forgive me, but we do have something of a pulse on our friends at Virgin Pulse.
Yes, we do. They have hit the trifecta as of today.
Yes. So
that is pretty cool. Chris Mihalik, next, right here on Work in Progress. He's Charles Epstein. I'm Tom Alexander. Back in just a moment.
I'm with you.
Since 2009, KangoGift has helped organizations foster cultures where employees feel valued, appreciated, and inspired to do their best every day. Their tech platform promotes meaningful relationships at work through engagement and recognition programs tailored to each client's unique culture. To learn more, visit KangoGift.com. That's KangoGift.com.
Time was running wild, a million dead-end streets, and every time I thought I got it made, it seemed the taste was not so sweet. So I turned myself to face me, but I've never caught a glimpse of how the others
must see the faker. I'm much too fast to take that test.
Changes.
Turn and face the strain.
Changes.
Chris Mihalik is CEO of Virgin Pulse, providers of employee well-being solutions that help employees create habits that matter so they can be their best at work and at home. He previously worked for Towers, McKinsey, and Aon, a murderer's row of top consulting organizations. His expertise spans operations, mergers and acquisitions, IPO leadership, and global partnership development management. Chris joins us today from Chicago. Chris, welcome.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
Wonderful to have you. And please say hello to my podcast partner, Charles Epstein.
Hi, Charles.
Hey, Chris. You know, this is the time of the year. FYI, Tom and I are transplanted Northeasterners. We're down here in South Florida these days. This is the time of the year we get to stoke. You know, our Schadenfreude is usually kept on a sort of a low flame, but now we get to stoke it into a roaring inferno because we know you guys up there are dealing with a lot of cold and snow. So how are you faring?
I'm doing all right. I'm actually doing double duty between Chicago and Rhode Island, Providence in particular, where Virgin Pulse is headquartered. So I'm dealing with the Midwest snow and the Northeast conditions as well. So not benefiting like you guys are down in Florida.
Well, you know, don't mean to get this conversation off to a bad start, Chris, but better you than us. But I say that with all due respect. Anyway, again, thanks so much for joining us, particularly given the weather. Very much appreciated. You know, as Tom mentioned in his intro, you pretty much run the table in working for some of the top consulting firms in the world. And I'm curious, what are the fundamental differences between being a consultant, giving advice to executives such as yourself, and being an executive, where you're now taking that advice, or at least sometimes, and being held accountable for your decisions and executive actions?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the biggest difference between being on the consulting side and being on the operator side is you are accountable for the results. As a consultant, you're oftentimes making recommendations, and sometimes you're not even there to see the outcome of the work that you've done. So there's a really significant difference there from that perspective. But I think my time in consulting, you know, I always had a real high accountability kind of orientation that my consulting advice and the teams that I worked on, that our work ought to make a difference for our clients. And so I've brought that kind of high accountability orientation into to my role here as the CEO. I think the other big difference is it's not always just what you recommend, but how it gets executed. And I've noticed that with consulting teams that I've worked closely with. I've had a relationship with McKinsey and others over the past number of years. And oftentimes those recommendations are really sound and very helpful. But how you bring them into your organization and how you execute around them is sometimes as important as the advice itself. How do you get people engaged around it? How do you make sure you've dealt with the change issues? How do you ensure that that your systems and processes are, you know, are collectively ready to go take on whatever recommendations have been provided? So it's as much the how you implement as it is the what you implement.
Now, having operated on both sides of that divide, if you will, do you like one better than the other? Do you find your or is it just a matter of, you know what, it was time for me to move into the operational side of things?
Yeah, it was time for me. I loved my time in consulting and having worked at, you know, some amazing firms. They built up a set of competencies in me that I think have been very valuable in my role as a leader and a CEO. And so I cherish those days and value those days. But I love what I'm doing now. I love the opportunity to have ownership, to be accountable for results, to work closely with a team of people who are pulling the rope in the same direction. And I have found that incredibly rewarding.
Yeah. I wonder if you ever did move back into consulting, if your experience now on the operational side would inform your consulting work. But maybe that's another conversation to have if and when that time comes, Chris.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, one of the recurring themes on this podcast is the importance of company culture. The question we've asked a number of our guests recently is, how can organizations maintain a strong company culture and employee engagement during these difficult times with so many people working from home? More specifically, how does leadership maintain a coherent company culture in this environment?
Yeah, you know, first of all, I think company culture is incredibly important. I've sometimes described myself as the chief culture officer, the person who's trying to create a place that sustainably can perform. And I think culture is an important part of making an organization successful at its core. As I think about the culture here, obviously, we've gone through the kinds of changes that most organizations have gone through over the past several years, particularly, you know, people working from their homes rather than in the offices that that we've made available in multiple geographies. And that has made influencing the culture a bit more challenging than it might otherwise be. Now, you know, from my perspective, I still think there is great opportunity to influence culture. And I put it on a few core things. One, I think it's important for an organization to have clarity about its values. Every organization seems to have a set of values, but it's how often you communicate them, how much you value them, how much you wrap processes around those values. So I think establishing a really clear sense of values is really crucial, particularly in these times with the workforce all over the place. I think communications is the second one that's super crucial. I think organizations that do a good job from a culture perspective are communicating often. So when I joined, you know, I started doing once a month full company town halls. And part of that was about establishing the kind of cultural characteristics that I wanted. I wanted them to feel closer to the most senior people in the organization because I believe flatter organizations are more effective. So I had some cultural elements that were important to me that I wanted to reinforce through town halls and other forms of communication. And then the third thing I say is important, I've noticed that here at Virgin Pulse, onboarding people in the right way. Getting people started in the right direction from the very first day they show up on the scenes. We do a very extensive job of bringing new talent into the organization and ensuring they get started in the right place. They understand what our values are. I typically speak to that group of people once a month, everybody who starts new in the organization. And part of my effort is to reinforce the things I think are most important around culture. So while more difficult in a remote working environment, I do think there are some keys to really driving the kind of culture that you want through values, through communications, through getting people started in the right direction.
Yeah. You know, Chris, speaking of culture, over the years, we've heard the expression a culture of health or a culture of well-being. How would you define it? And how in a post-pandemic world does Virgin Pulse help companies implement and maintain a culture of health or well-being? And as importantly, how do you measure it?
Yeah. How do you define it? Well, first of all, I think whenever I think about culture, as I described a few minutes ago, I think it starts at the top of an organization. And so if you want to have a culture of health or a culture of well-being, from my perspective, that starts at the very top of the organization with the CEO and the C-suite. They actually have to demonstrate that that's a value of the organization. And interestingly enough, right now, coming off of the last couple of years, coming off of COVID, coming off of work from home, coming off of social equality issues and challenges, those kinds of issues, I think, have raised well-being up to the C-suite level. I think what CEOs recognize, particularly in an environment where there's the great resignation and people have more choices maybe than they've had in the last, you know, decade or two, that well-being and retaining people is really important, that people be able to show up every day present and productive and able to contribute to what the organization is trying to achieve. So I think well-being has really risen to the top of the organization. And I think C-suite executives get how important presenteeism, productivity, mental health, and physical health are to their ability to be successful as an organization.
Yeah.
So, you know, starts at the top from my perspective.
Well, speaking of, how do you and your other executives model this? How do you underscore this? How do you communicate it?
Yeah, it's a little easier for me, I think, because I'm a part of a well-being company. One of our core values is live it, breathe it. And live it, breathe it is about living out and breathing our culture and what we do every day in well-being into our workforce. So it's a little easier for me in that regard. But I've also seen other C-suite executives who've really made it a focus. I spent time, a couple months ago with a handful of executives and heads of HR. And the consistent message across that group of people was, we are competing in a well-being space today, where mental and physical health are crucial to our ability to compete effectively in the marketplace against our peers. And if we win that battle, that those companies believe they can be more successful in the market. And again, that's to me a great sign of people leading from the top as it relates to health and well-being in particular.
Yeah, sure.
Our guest is Chris Mihalik. He's the CEO of Virgin Pulse. Chris, your flagship platform is called Homebase for Health. If you would please describe this for our listeners, how does it work and how is it implemented? Lastly, what problems in today's increasingly remote or hybrid work environments does it solve?
Yeah. First and foremost, I think the challenge of health and well-being is getting more complex. I think it's getting more costly. And I think it's more difficult today to engage people around these challenges than it's ever been before. And so I think Homebase for Health has been specifically designed to help both members and our employer and health plan clients to deal with those things, to deal with cost, complexity, and engagement. And we're bringing a set of assets, predominantly digital platforms and live service capabilities, to our clients to help them and help their people deal with the difficult challenges of their health and well-being. So there are a few components to the Homebase for Health. First is a digital front door, a place that any member can go to navigate the complexities of healthcare. We like to think that our platform is more comprehensive and more inclusive than most in the marketplace, helping people navigate all aspects of the benefits that their organization is trying to provide. Then after you're through that front door, you're going to find assets related to well-being, helping you stay healthy, navigation, helping you navigate the complex environment of healthcare, particularly in the moments that matter most. And what we call health, which is a care management feature, helping people to deal with pre-chronic conditions like smoking cessation, early stage diabetes, weight loss, et cetera, the things that tend to lead to the highest cost conditions. So we bring well-being, navigation, and health to our clients, and we empower that platform, our Homebase for Health, with data, with partners, and with live services. Data, super crucial to personalizing the experience. Partners are critical because they bring specialty capabilities that people need. And then live services is adding a human touch to what would be only a high-tech experience without it. So Homebase for Health is bringing all that together to create better outcomes and better engagement for our members and our clients.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I also like that human touch element. We've had some EAPs and such on the podcast, and that is a very important element. After all, mental health and some of those things, or it's a fundamentally human type of interaction. And speaking of interactions, on your website, it says that your platform promotes more habit-building interactions per member than other programs. What do you mean by habit-building interactions? Is that the same as replacing bad habits with good ones? And do you also measure how long good ones are sustained? Because as we all know, it's hard to break a habit. It's hard to build a new one. But what's hardest is to keep from backsliding and turning a good habit back into a bad one.
Yeah. Well, there is, Charles, you bring up some great points about habits. First of all, there's a science around daily habits, and a lot of better healthcare, a lot of better health in general for people is tied to really good daily habits. And so Virgin Pulse has been in the daily habit business for a very long time. We know a few things about what it takes to drive better behavior and better habits out of people. And, one of the things I would point to is personalization. understanding something about the individual and what their particular needs are, given their demographic profile, their claims data and history, et cetera. When we know something about that person, we can make sure they're getting the information they need to take the right action. So personalization is crucial to helping somebody drive better habits. I would say, you know, content is also crucial. Being able to have the right set of content that you can push out to people to help them start new habits. That can be eating healthier. That can be stopping smoking. It could be medication adherence. It could be taking the right next step or next action with respect to their healthcare. So we think content is really important to the challenge. And then we think consistent communication. I think the data right now says you might need to be told something or reminded of something 7 times before you will take action. And again, you know, we're just the human beings haven't, we have an internal inertia against doing things differently. And being consistent in that communication is crucial to setting good habits. Yeah. And the last thing I'll say, going back to your point about live service capability or the human touch, oftentimes people need accountability. And so we make that available through people, a coach that will come alongside you and help you define what you think are important habits for you to develop and be there for you to provide accountability and to provide good advice to you as you're trying to form those habits. And so all of those pieces are important to establishing new behaviors. We do track it. We do track how often people pick up new habits. We track, you know, for example, we interface with hundreds of different devices, from weight loss devices to step devices, and we can see the kinds of activity people are participating in that would be the demonstration of new habits in their life.
I'm going to put you on the spot, Chris, and ask you, in the last 12 months, what one bad habit did you break and replace with a good one? You could make it up if you feel the need to. You can punt, but I have a feeling you're not going to.
I won't punt. For me, it's been about daily exercise. It isn't about, I think in my past, it would have been about how long I exercised. And now it's about how often I exercise. Am I out there every day doing something that contributes to my better health? And so, you know, like many people during COVID, I had a different form of availability from working from home to go out and do a walk, do a run, do a workout, et cetera. So I'm very focused, you know, personally on just being active in a really intentional way as often as possible during the course of a week. So, you know, this week was a particularly good one. I think 6 or 7 days I, you know, completed my rings and, you know, feel good about, you know, my being out there and trying to break that habit. I've got lots of work to do. It's one piece of the puzzle, but it's a habit I've started.
Do you make, how transparent are you in some of, you know, these off-road things, these things that don't happen at the workplace with your workplace, going back to the idea of modeling behavior?
Yeah, one of the great things about the Virgin Pulse app is you can actually collaborate with people at work or other friends in your personal ecosystem. So when I signed up at Virgin Pulse, one of the first thing I did was invite some of my family members to participate with me on the challenges that I was undertaking. So I'm walking, they're walking. I can see what they're doing. They can see what I'm doing. I love to see when my, you know, wife has closed one of her rings as well. So we're keeping track of each other in that regard. I've now since had a number of Virgin Pulse employees reach out to me to say, hey, love to be in it with you on your challenge and what you're doing. And so there's a collaboration component to our platform that's enabling me to, just like any other employee at Virgin Pulse, collaborate with people and see what everybody's doing.
Yeah. Not to put a negative spin on this, Chris, that all sounds good. But I find that second only to fear, shame is a great motivator.
it isn't a warm fuzzy, but I don't disagree with you, Charles.
Chris, one more question. What do you see as the central challenge or challenges in maintaining a healthy, productive workforce going forward?
Yeah, you know, so I'll go back to culture of well-being and health. I do think at the corporate level or the company level, I think there is a tremendous good in organizations that are empowering their workforce to focus on their health. And so I think that is a powerful force. But at the end of the day, what I think is most important is individual people making good decisions for their own personal health. I think good decisions are the core underlying component of really good health. And good decisions go back to daily habits. Do I commit to the right daily habits on a regular basis? They go back to, you know, for example, have I chosen the right doctors? It's pretty clear today that there are high quality, low cost doctors. And have I made the right decisions as it relates to providers? We're trying to help people navigate that type of decision to make sure they find themselves at the with the right doctor, getting the right kind of care. Do I follow the care that my providers are asking me to follow? Medication and routine adherence to the right counsel that is given by a provider is crucial. The number of people, the percentage of people that fall off of their medication or other things that they're being advised to do, physical therapy, et cetera. If people make good decisions about those things, they'll be in better health. And so I think, you know, at the core, at the root of real health and well-being at the individual level is individuals making good decisions for them and their families around their healthcare.
Excellent. Well, Chris, we really appreciate your time today. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, thank you both for having me, Tom. It was great to spend time with you and Charles and appreciate the opportunity to talk a little bit about Virgin Pulse and even share some of my own, you know, personal habit challenges.
Yes.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Chris Mihalik was our guest today. He's CEO of Virgin Pulse, providers of employee well-being solutions that help employees create habits that matter so they can be their best at work and at home. Chris Mihalik spoke to us today from Chicago. This is Work in Progress. Stay tuned. Back in just a moment. Since 2009, Kango Gift has helped organizations foster cultures where employees feel valued, appreciated, and inspired to do their best every day. Their tech platform promotes meaningful relationships at work through engagement and recognition programs tailored to each client's unique culture. To learn more, visit KangoGift.com. That's KangoGift.com. Things up now on Work in Progress. I'm Tom Alexander, and of course, Charles Epstein is with us. And Charles, we hit the trifecta, of course, with Virgin Pulse today with their new CEO.
Yeah, you know, I hope I didn't overplay the Schadenfreude card because, I know we can be a little bit insufferable this time of year, particularly when our friends up north are dealing with a cold front. It's kind of interesting, you know, as he mentioned, he's based in Chicago, but occasionally visits the headquarters in Providence, Rhode Island, which is also kind of snowed in. So, Chris, please forgive us, but occasionally we do have to press the advantage we have for, you know, several months. After that, everybody can pile on because it does become intensely humid here. So you have a free pass to do that. But yeah, you know, as I said at the outset, I was really interested in drawing him out because he spent a good part of his career as a consultant with Towers, McKinsey, Aon. And all of a sudden, he's moving the other side of the street, if you will, where he's no longer providing the advice, but actually in an operations role, you know, being held accountable for his decisions and for his actions. And that was an interesting conversation. Obviously, he's made the transition. I thought it was very insightful when he shared with us how his consulting work informed his work as a CEO.
Yeah. Now, very interesting conversation and evolution, really. How all this is. And what fascinates me the most is just how this is always changing. It's a very kind of fluid thing, and it doesn't stay in one place very long. It definitely evolves.
Yeah, and really, I asked him a question about habits because so much of wellness comes down to behaviors, each ingrained habits, and there are any number of tools out there that ostensibly enable you or at least help you change exchange a bad habit for a good habit. But the problem is, of course, stopping you from backsliding, just like with a diet. Yes, you can go on a diet and you can lose weight, but keeping it off is obviously the key. But I thought he also had an interesting answer to how their platform helps in sustaining your good habits. And I was also interested to hear about, just in the continuum of services, it also includes the ability to get some personal interaction because, we've spoken with wellness people on this podcast. We've spoken with EAPs over time. And, ultimately there are a ton of really good tools out there, but I think behavior is fundamentally a human thing. And ultimately I think you do need a human interaction, somebody to size you up and somebody who can really give you, you can bounce ideas off of and so forth and give you that feedback that you don't always get from an app, no matter how good and intuitive these apps are. So it sounds like they've thought of a lot of things. And he talked about, how data driven they are, which obviously is largely what we spoke to Mary Marzek about, how data driven this all is. And it kind of has to be because, it's not how you feel. It's, documenting it. It's making incremental progress that you can objectively look at, you can mark and so on. So, the data piece is so important. Anyway, great conversation.
Excellent conversation. And of course, we thank Chris Mihalik for joining us today on the pod.
One last thing, yeah. Tom. As you know, of course, we always give our guests the option of selecting a piece of music they want to be played on with. And in Chris's case, he deferred to our judgment, always a mistake. but you'll notice we played him on with David Bowie's Changes because we thought that was appropriate on two levels. Number one, behavior change. But number two, Richard Branson, the founder of Virgin Pulse, and in fact, the founder of Virgin Records, David Bowie was one of the artists on his music label. So we thought that was entirely appropriate. And any excuse to play a little bit of David Bowie is good by me.
I couldn't agree more. I'm sure Bowie will make another appearance on the show at some point, as we're both big fans.
Absolutely.
For Charles Epstein, I'm Tom Alexander. I think that's my name. And we'll be back next time with a brand new show. Thanks so much for listening to this one. And so long, everybody.
This has been Work in Progress, a World at Work podcast about work, life, and everything in between, with award-winning radio host Tom Alexander and Workspan's Not Safe for Work columnist Charles Epstein. For more, visit worldatwork.org/workinprogress. That's worldatwork.org/workinprogress. Join us next week for another edition of Work in Progress.